Every day I'm moving further from sobriety. Every day I'm moving further from sobriety. Every day I'm moving further from sobriety. Further from sobriety. So sobriety. Every day I'm moving further from.
And now it's time for Homegrown, your only show dedicated to local art, with your hosts, David Von Strom and Leslie M. Scott Jones. And now, here's David.
Hello! Charlottesville! It's Sunday! It's February 10th!
Yes! I got it!
It's 2019, as far as I remember. It's 2019, right?
Yes!
Because people are still wearing blackface, that's why I'm concerned. And this is Homegrown.
Yes, with right all the blackface, you think it's 96.
Oh!
Your show about local art.
Tasteful art.
I wore my blackface this morning just for you, David.
Here in the new
and
birds.
It's beautiful, Clinton. I just want you, I mean, you got the edges just right and everything. It's smooth. I'm in awe over here.
And this is Homegrown! On 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville.
I
am David Von Strom, a.k.a. the Devious One, a.k.a. Nefarious Rucker, a.k.a. Negro Suave, a.k.a.
Black Frodo.
You know the deal.
Yeah.
The feet. The darkness. Trump's America.
The darkness.
Yeah, so Fairfax is done.
Yeah, I think he is. There's nothing to pull him out of in that one. And it's sad because I've met Justin several times. I really like him, but yeah. You know, a friend of mine and I had a conversation talking about all.
Sorry,
of...
the lovely, the loquacious, the lascivious Leslie M. Scott Jones.
Thank you, baby.
And for Harriet here.
A friend of mine and I were having a conversation about all of the allegations for, you know, Virginia
the
government.
Multiple allegations.
And he was like, you know, I get it. You're in your 20s. You know, you're going to a school not necessarily known for its, you know, inclusivity or anything. You know, you made some bad choices, probably, you know, beer influenced, you know, right. Whatever. But you don't get to run for office. You know what I mean? Like, it's yes, okay, everybody does stupid stuff in their 20s and, you know, everybody has... Yeah. Things in their existence that realize are wrong as they grow older.
I'm just thinking about all the stuff that I was like, yeah, I should not run for office.
But that's not happening. You don't get to be governor.
You don't get to be anything. You don't get to be air traffic controller if you wear blackface. Look, and this is the statistic that got to me. They said they did a public survey and they said that 11% of Virginians know somebody that has either worn blackface or have worn blackface.
It's themselves.
So,
wow.
Yeah, and I'm saying like this is not like just like Polaroids in a shoebox on a Friday party between friends. This is a medical freaking yearbook.
Yep.
Issued by a university.
Yep.
That goes through an editing process.
Yeah.
By graduates and by seemingly.
Professionals
and
in doing that, right.
And somewhat enlightened individuals, people that go to college to reach a higher education about society.
Yeah. And see, and of course, that's the other problem. It's like, oh, okay, that happened in your like, drunken 20s, you know, stupid moment.
Yeah.
But then
youthful indiscretion.
Whoever was editing the yearbook saw nothing wrong with that. Like, I mean, what? It makes me ask the question, what picture would have been cut?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like how far? Where's the line, people? I just want to know where the line is. You know, I like clarity. Where's the line? Like blackface, okay. Like what's next?
All right, so I took down the picture with the bone in my nose and the plate in my face.
Right.
I removed that from my Facebook wall.
I removed that one.
I consider myself to be a tolerant. Like. This is ridiculous, and this is the problem too. It's like again, I say medical. I'm going. I'm getting the finger from Clinton.
Yeah.
Clinton Johnson, executive producer, HNIC. If I'm grown, I love you. I'm gonna make my point. And
Yeah, I guess I'm done. I'm done because I could just go on forever. We'll just come back. We'll just come back to it again.
Oh, I'm sure.
Next week there'll be more stuff. West next Wing in the week. House. I got my flash on.
He does. You got lightning.
He was like, whoa.
You got lightning, dude.
See, I did not realize that. I apologize.
We were talking about how low tech we were, and then you come with the lighting.
I can.
There we go.
That's a little better.
I took down the lightning bolt. I thought it would help a little.
But you just glow on your own.
Yeah.
No pun intended. West Wing, musician. Also, I like to call him West Wing Crusher.
Live electronic looping workshop.
Wow.
Yes.
That's
he
good.
Went yes. there.
My
people.
Fellow blurreds are like, yeah. Front Porch Roots Music School is going down February 16th. Wes.
How you doing? Thank you for being a part of it.
Hey, thanks for having
indulging
me.
Indulging us.
For
in
sure.
In our usual banter and craziness.
It's great to be here.
Me and Leslie always like to do.
Yes. Yes. So, electronic looping workshop.
Yeah.
Okay. For the people who've been living under a rock for a couple of years, mm-hmm. what is looping?
Okay.
And if you say anything about Bruce Willis, I swear to God, I'm getting up and leaving. I'm walking out of this room.
In a huff.
I mean, basically, it just lets me record what I play in the moment
right.
and play it back. So, like, put down a cello line. Cello is my main instrument. And I'll record that line, then add another cello, then add another cello, add another cello. So in the end, there's like 10 cellos. Mm. Sounds like a little string quartet or a string orchestra. And then I sing with that.
Yeah. Oh, cool.
And people who are not used to looping have probably like seen it done by a lot of like new contemporary artists. KD Tunstall, Ed Sheeran does a lot of looping on his own. So talk about the influences that you've had in terms of both classical and both this like new progressive stuff.
Yeah, because how did you get to do this?
Yeah, so I've been doing this for a while. One of the like, so when I was finishing college in like 2004, they released like a new line of pedals.
Yeah.
Basically like, just like a looping pedals that can allow you to loop. And so I was writing more like classical music-ish, like modern, like string quartet type stuff.
Right.
But I really wanted to perform my own music, and to get a string quartet together for every performance
is hard.
Difficult. And also I wanted to sing and play cello at the same time, which is weird if you only have one sound.
Yeah.
So it was kind of like a natural fit for me to try to do looping, because I could just like be my own string quartet, basically. So I think I would say that almost the technology is what like sort of like gave me a way to do what I was looking to do. Yeah.
Cool. Did you have issues like linking up with other cellists and being like, yo, this is what I want to do. And then being like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Like
a little bit, like people were digging it, but like getting six people together in a room to practice even, and then writing out parts for them. So like a lot of classical players aren't into improvising music.
Yes.
Like they just read off the page.
Yes.
That's what they know how to do.
Yes.
And they're amazing at it, but like I was sort of not wanting to write it down and I wanted to like,
you wanted it to be organic.
Yeah. Organic and more natural. And so I would give them like a chord structure and be like, hey, just like improv off of this, and they'd be like, no. Like, you don't understand. Like, I'm not going to do that.
I need the notes.
That is really sweet, what you just asked me to do. No.
Maybe I'm just lazy and I don't want to write it down. I mean, I don't like to write music down that much anymore.
You know, I was talking with a friend about this, like, just yesterday. We were listening, watching YouTube, this band rather called Estratosphere, and it basically looks like five music college guys got together and created a progressive rock group. Yeah. And they were so massively talented that they were almost robotic at their skill. Mm. And I was warning to themselves, yes, I love this and it's beautiful and it's impressive, but there is a certain texture that is missing from it. And there is a certain heart that is absent from this performance. Oh. Do you think with classical music and classically trained individuals that they lose the heart and soul of the music in their training?
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Yeah, I think so, for sure. And I feel really lucky because when I was a kid, I got into rock and punk rock like kind of early on. And that's what sort of like opened a new idea world for me.
Yeah.
Improvising and jamming, as it were, and like all that kind of stuff. But my friends who just did classical the whole time, I think totally. Like they, and a lot of them have expressed frustration about that. They're like, I want to learn to improvise. I want to be able to improvise. And like, I think even Yo-Yo Ma didn't improvise until like midway through his classical
career. So what do you think it is that keeps them from like actually doing that?
Well, partly it's the repertoire. Like they're learning this stuff that is so ridiculously complicated to play. It takes like, you know, 8 hours a day of practicing. And perfectioning. And I think the demands of that life, and I never pursued that life as like a conservatory musician. So like, if I had, I probably wouldn't have ever had any time to improvise and do this other stuff.
Right.
But something I'm really interested in is taking like the looping idea to classical players, because it's like, I know if I had been like in high school and someone had come and been like, look what you can do with your cello and this weird thing you can do with it, it would have been really awesome for me to hear that then. Something I've been thinking a lot about is how to bring looping to like a more classical like kid, basically.
Right.
Like who's just stuck in that box.
Well, maybe. And I just saw, I can't remember where I saw it. It was on the internet somewhere. They now have a looping machine that's for your voice. So you can literally sing like just a couple of notes and the machine will then turn it into 4 or 5 part harmonies for you.
Cool.
Yeah. And it's like, cool. It's crazy. It is absolutely crazy. I watched a video of a guy like demoing how it works. And he was like, yeah, if I sing this, here's the melody and I'll let that play. And then he goes, then I can just change the setting and do this. And there's the bass line. Whoa. And he's like, you don't need to like find musicians and do all that. He's like, you can do all of this with just this instrument and your voice.
That's so cool.
So yeah,
right on.
Now you can, I've just blown your mind.
Yeah.
And you can, now you can figure out how to add that in.
So I do vocal looping. So that's like kind of where I start with most people. So like when I teach this workshop, for example, or a class, or Balanle and I have actually been all over the place doing looping with kids. Like we plug in the mic first because, everybody can sing or they can talk or, you know, or they can make sound, they can hit the mic with their hands. Like basically anybody can be looping and then I'll just run the pedals because the pedals are more complicated, but the kids or the audience, whoever's there can actually add their voice. And when you add your voice in and then you walk away and then all of a sudden your voice comes back to you.
Yeah.
It's kind of a special moment for people and you see they're like they light up because they don't get to hear each other and they don't get to like improvise with a whole group of strangers.
Right.
Or just like people in their community, for example. Like,
yeah.
So we did it at a version of our piece at PVCC for Let There Be Light this year. And Balanle built like a light installation that changed colors. And the mic was inside the light installation.
Oh, cool.
And so people would come up, loop, walk away, then they'd hear themselves, and then they'd be like, wait, I need to get another one in. So they'd come back.
That's
and the
awesome.
Kids just, like, freaked out over this. And they were, like, looping. Like, there was a time when it was just, like, a whole mob of children just, like, rushing the mic, basically. But it was so cool. And
yeah, sound. And
music. See, you know, I couldn't do that because I hate the sound of my recorded voice.
Interesting.
I don't.
What about singing?
I sing.
That's why you never listen to the
shows. Into the mic. Too.
I sing. I just hate it. And I don't like the sound of my recorded voice at any doing anything.
Singing, talking.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. I can't listen to it.
That sucks for you as a radio personality.
I know.
Well, you can be on the radio, but not listen to it.
I can be on the radio. Yeah. I just never listen to myself.
So frustrating doing a podcast with Leslie. It's like, I don't know what the hell I said.
I don't know what I said. I just went off, right?
No, I did it. It's done.
I literally just got a job to do an audiobook for a friend of mine.
Yeah, have fun with that.
We'll make the book, just don't listen to it.
Exactly. I just won't listen to it. No,
You've already read the book, Leslie.
I'm joking. I will listen to it. Okay, yeah. Katie, I will listen to it. It will be edited. Don't freak out. Because I know she's listening this morning.
Yeah, about that audio book. But Les, your story reminded me of like kind of like
you know, the carefree of children and why I particularly gravitated towards music. I always believed that there was like rhythm in the earth and like music everywhere and like pots and pans and like tree stumps and like shaking of leaves and like if
You were that kid.
I was that kid. I was, you know.
Mama D, I'm so sorry.
Yeah. Yeah.
Lord.
Yeah, it explains a lot. So it's like, I always believed that, you know, there was music everywhere. And I think looping kind of encapsulates that. Like, you know, you hit something and then you can take that beat.
You can loop it.
Loop it around to whatever meter and beat that you feel like. Talk about how looping kind of embraces the idea of, like, universal musicality.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's been something I've seen with, like, for instance, in workshops with teenagers or adults, too. Like, there's a moment where someone doesn't want to do it. They're afraid to get in there. They're afraid to make a sound. And you tell them, look, you can just hit the mic with your hand. You can just make a beat.
Yeah.
You know, that's all. And they do that, and it just opens up, like, all the other possibilities. And before long, they're in there singing, they're in there clapping, they're in there clicking.
Yeah, it's that easy.
It really is like, we just need to be, part of it is a group, like making music in a group is not something that we get to do anymore.
Right.
We don't get to sing together very often, you know, it was like going to church where people would sing together. And as people are going to church less and less and less, that outlet isn't, you know, it's just like there's a group sing and there's a power to that. And there's in the looping, even if you're just hitting the mic, you can feel it.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about where to find that outlet in a few minutes. We got to pay some bills. This is Homegrown with West Wing. Drop!
Hi, I'm Russell Richards, and you're listening to Homegrown on WPVC.
17 minutes past the hour. If you're just tuning in, this is Homegrown. 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. I'm David. That's Leslie. Clinton on the boards. West Swing is in the house talking about the live electronic looping workshop at the Front Porch Roots Music School, February 16th. Clinton, you had a question?
So, when I was a kid, I hung out with a friend of mine, great friend, wonderful guy, much, much, much better musician than I will ever be. He was primarily a keyboardist, and I would listen to him write songs over and over and over again, and then for years. And then one day, he picked up an electric guitar and wrote a song on that. And it fascinated me because once he was done writing that, I was like, that's a different type of song. Like, that's the type of song that you write with a guitar. Like, I could hear it. I could hear, like, it wasn't like the stuff he'd done before. Yeah. And it was my first introduction to how, my first introduction? That's redundant. It was my introduction to how the instrument can, like, the form of creation, the materials of creation, can shape the created thing. Mm-hmm. So my question about looping is, how does looping affect the songs that are written with looping? Are there things, what type of songs do you get from looping? What type of songs don't you get from looping?
Yeah, that's a great question. And it's totally true. It's like, it is, if I need to write a song, if I'm stuck, I just switch instruments and usually something comes right out. So like, that is definitely a thing. And there's some songs where I write it on guitar and I'm like, this is just not a guitar song. And then I move it to cello and immediately with the looping and the cello, it's a song. And it's like, and vice versa all the time. And there's some feel that's hard to describe about why something would be a guitar song versus why it would be a piano song versus why it'd be a cello song. But looping is interesting because you're sort of limited by the technology. So like, if you have a loop pedal that's a one track pedal, for example, you could loop 10 parts on that one track, right? Mm-hmm. You're going to have a single chord structure, like one chord, two chord, three chord maybe. But then if you have a pedal that has multiple tracks, you could layer up on one track, move over to another track, layer up, move over to a third track, layer up, and move back. So the song structure is much more
available.
Can get complicated. So a lot of it depends on the actual technology. But something about looping that's I've struggled with is how once, especially live, you loop that thing and you're locked in. You know, you got to play in that structure. And so to have freedom and improvisation within that can sometimes be a little bit elusive, but it also gives you that cool structure. So it's sort of like a double-edged thing.
So in a lot of ways, looping is going back to it's going back to improvisational jazz.
Yeah.
Because there's a because there is a structure. There's a there's a chord structure.
At least basic drum and bass.
The box box is huge because the structure is so wide, but you can go anywhere inside that box.
Right. And it almost is like if you like in the sense that a big band would be sort of locked in and you can't have everybody improvising, right? Because you need that. It's kind of like that. And then there's an improviser on top of it. So in most times it would be my voice that feels like the voice where the freedom is.
Yes.
But like when I play guitar, for example, I can slow down when I want to, speed it back up, really like let the rhythm be flexible. Mm-hmm. But with looping, no, it's locked in. It can be great, and sometimes I'm like, oh, it's so nice to play guitar. I have some freedom, you know, or something.
But I wonder how much looping, and maybe you can speak to this, I wonder how much the increasing popularity of looping in the last few years is a reflection of economic constraints and how much harder it's becoming for musicians to make money and I mean, because there's a really baseline fact that you can now perform with less people.
Oh yeah. Yeah, totally. And I think that's a part of it for sure. And I also think maybe that you know, songwriters are kind of control freaks, and I'm probably guilty of this.
No.
I want what I want, you know? And I really want the sound that I want, and I'm like, okay, I can do it. I'm gonna do it. But I do play with other musicians a lot, and they
Ghost
have to
of Prince, we're looking at you. We're looking at you, Mr. I'll play everything.
Right.
I
don't know what you're talking about.
Master.
I refuse to listen to you.
Yeah, I mean, that was next level.
No, I actually, there's some brouhaha about one of the guys that was in Prince's original band. He's going on all these talk shows talking about how you know, Prince wasn't the nice guy we think he was, and he was so mean and blah 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 and all this.
Hell, everybody knew that though.
But you know what?
Prince fans knew that.
I hear this one. He's like,
I wanted this. Right.
He didn't invite anybody to collaborate with him that he thought was better than him. And I was like, hold on, wait.
Prince was isolating himself.
Wait. Tell me who was better than Prince. I just wonder who could he invite into that room that was going to show him up. I don't answer that question for me, and we'll be all right. But I don't think you got one.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally. No. I sometimes play with other musicians, and they have to follow the loop.
Right.
My poor drummer. He's just like listening, like really carefully, and sometimes the loop is slightly off, and so he has to follow off loop.
Drummers are like the most frustrated by the new phenomenon of looping and like, you know, music, electronic instrumentation.
But
they're so good. They're
but
like,
you know what?
Freaking metronomes.
Have you listened to some of the drum tracks that Stevie Wonder has put down? There is not a beat there. There is not a regular syncopated beat.
I don't think
there.
Superstition has a drum beat.
And it's like
it does.
Yeah. It has one, but it's like
if you listen, there's a really nice regular beat on the hi hat.
Right.
Goes through.
Right. It's only on the hi hat. Right. But if you if you listen to some of the drum tracks that he actually laid, they're not in time.
Wow. Yeah.
They're not in time, but nobody cares because it sounds amazing.
That's the thing. Like if it and sometimes the fact that it's not in time is almost the strength.
Exactly.
Of it.
That's what makes it work.
Yeah.
Right.
It's like that's the organic person played that.
Yeah.
So we have to play some of the organic person that you actually are, because we got to show some of the crazy stuff that you do. This is by US. I don't know if you know this. This is for the crowd too. This is a song called Maris. Play that.
Shine in the sun. Thank you.
That was a little piece of Mirrors by Wes Swing. Oh my God. All right. We got to go. We got to go. I hate.
But that was so beautiful.
Yeah. You're coming back, right?
Sure.
Live Electronic Looping Workshop is going to be at the Front Porch Roots Music School.
See, I told you. But the
February 16th.
His mouth.
Yeah, I just mush stuff up sometimes. It is what it is.
I got a little bit of mush mouth.
Wes Swing, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Artistic events?
Yep.
All right. Let's start those smooth jams for those artistic events.
We're doing smooth jams this time?
Oh, yeah. No, usually it's something smooth. Something smooth, something crazy. All right. Here are just some of the artistic events happening this week. Currently running through April 13th, the American Shakespeare Center presents its 2019 Actors Renaissance Season featuring Henry IV, Part 1, The Merry Wives of Windsor by William Shakespeare, and starting February 7th, and Page 8 on
Shakespeare,
and starting March 8th, on the Faversham at the Blackfriars Theater in Stanton. Also currently running through February 24th, check out these local artist shows. Second Street Gallery pairs two painters with two photographers.
Photographers?
I keep reading it, and then I notice that it is Sharon Shapiro, Stacey Evans from McGuffey Arts Center, and Russ Warren and Bill Moore. Thrown down! Oh, this is beautiful. McGuffey Arts Center observes Black History Month, they better, by celebrating Charlottesville's Black creative community. Look for work by Daryl Rose, Rose Hill, Michael A. Williams, Anthony Scott, Dina Jennings, Bolanle Adeboye, Liz Sherry Jones, Sahara Clemens, and more. New City Arts, an exhibit of paintings, embroideries, and sculptures inspired by Latina women by Karina A. Monroy. Chroma Arts Project presents Laura Wooten, Spirit of Place, Landscapes Real and Imagined, and Jennifer Esser's Where Time Abstracts Truth. And the Fiber and Stitch Art Collective, shout out to Jane, display artistic quilts at New Dominion Bookshop. I don't know why. Don't even ask. Currently running an extended February 17th, The Curious Incident of the Dog in the Nighttime.
I know.
I should have saw it Friday night.
Good.
I flaked and
it's
I passed
so
out and I totally forgot. And I'm sorry, Ayana. I'll make it up. February 14th, UVA Fralin Art Museum docent and former guest June Hines guides you through 45 minutes of meditative exploration of Fralin Art pieces at her Looking Inward Meditative Art Tour. February 14th, the UVA MFA reading series continues with grad students Andy Eaton and Katie Rice reading from their work at New Dominion Bookshop. Also February 14th, oh, there's so much stuff you can do on February 14th. Poet Stephen Cushman hosts Love Plus Haiku. A Valentine to Remember at North American equals love plus haiku equal. Oh, it's a mathematical equation. I didn't know.
Ew.
Love plus haiku equals a Valentine's to Remember at North American Sake Brewery, where you can read yours or someone else's haikus. Also, February 14th, One Mic Stand returns to the V. Earl Dickinson Building at Piedmont Virginia Community College. Make fun of the one you love. February 15th,
don't we always? 17th,
Broadway Our Way, a teen musical review at Four County Players. Also February 15th through February 17th, the UVA Theater Group presents the world premiere of Sifras. Spanish Theater Group presents the world premiere of Sifras by Mar Gomez Glez. Margot Mesclas. February 15th, PVCC opens two new exhibits in the North and South galleries of the V. Earl Dickinson Building. The North Gallery features Skyward by photographer John Grant. And the South Gallery features Look Out! Brought to you by Mystical. A collection of community portraits. Yes, by Eze Amos,
Eze.
Aaron Farrington, Jay Johnson, Greg Antrim Kelly, Jesus, Pino, Sanjay, Suchak, and Guillermo Ubila.
Guillermo.
Guillermo. That's
no, you put an L in there.
Did I put the R in there?
No, you put an L in there. It's Guillermo.
Guillermo. I'm Matt Guillermo.
Ubina.
February 15th, Big Blue Door does improv at the Bridge Progressive Arts Initiative. And for your music options this week,
Turtle Zwaglo at Batesville Market at 1 p.m. Where am I? That's today. Oh, my God. Oh, wow, boy. At Glasshouse Winery at 2 p.m. Patrick and Aaron Olwell and friends at Albemarle Ciderworks at 2:30. Tonight, King Golden Banshee at the Tin Whistle Irish Pub. Of the 12th, we have Eli Cook at Dirty Nelly's. Hey, Eli, come back on the show, dude. What's up? Louis Smith and friends at Fellini's. On the 13th, Greg Ward at South Street Brewery. Ben Hernandez and Gabe Roby at the Whiskey Jar. On the 14th, Love Day. Scott Ward at Tavern on the James. Michael Ellswick and come at Fellini's. Ren and the Romantics at Dirty Nelly's. Two Wishes Street. Well, it says Ren.
I know, but it's Red.
Okay, it's Red. He's so angry today.
Guillermo.
Two Wishes Trio at Glasshouse Winery on the 15th. Gary Randall and Waylon's Crossing Tavern. House and Groove plays a funky Valentine's Hangover at the Ix Art Park. You should see that.
See, that's
it's
what you should do.
So
you
cool.
should do your thing on the day after Valentine's Day, because you know on Valentine's Day, they ain't going to be doing nothing but sitting at home by the fireplace,
okay.
making sweet, sweet love to each other's eyes.
Oh, hey,
like,
hey,
I'm just saying,
hey.
Like, that's the time. Why
All right, February 15th, the student hip-hop organization at UVA presents Love, the first segment of their Color Theory series at Southern Cafe and Music Hall. On the 16th, Seville Jazz Congregation at Albemarle Ciderworks. The Charlottesville Symphony plays two works by Ravel and Kodály's Variations on a Hungarian Folk Song at UVA's Old Cabell Hall. On the 16th, Gallatin Canyon plays an evening of Valentine's Grass at the Front Porch Roots Music School. Michelle Oliva, Bonnie Gordon, and John Durth form the jazz and chamber music fusion trio Angela on the Arts at Batesville Market. Also on the 16th, the Falsies at the Southern Cafe and Music Hall. Every Sunday, Travis Elliott at Rapture. Every Monday, Bluegrass Jam at the Front Porch Roots Music School. C-Foot! Charlottesville Friends of Old Time Music Weekly Open Jam at Thomas Jefferson Memorial Unitarian Church. Tango Music with Miles Pierce and Maddie Metcalf at the Bebedero. Red and the Romantics at the Whiskey Jar. Songwriter Night at the Local. Every Tuesday, Latin Guitar Night with Miles Pierce and Humberto Sales at the Bebedero, baby. The Ragged Mountain String Band at the Whiskey Jar. The Traditional Session at the Tin Whistle Irish Pub. Every Wednesday, Bachata Fusion at the Ix Park. The Mike Krasinski and Jeff Tucker Quartet at Miller's. Every Thursday, Humberto Sales and Vincent Zorn do the Gypsy Rumba at the Bebedero.
Can you sing Gypsy stuff?
And every Thursday, John Death at Miller's. All right, those are your weekly events, people.
Because every Thursday, you just got to come down to Death. There are some, but not all, of the events going down in Charlottesville. This is what we do. This is who we are. Support your local artists. This is Homegrown. Drop!
I am local poet Mariana Dunn, and you're listening to Homegrown, your show about local art. 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville.
34 minutes past the hour. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Homegrown. 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. I'm David. That's Leslie. Clinton on the boards. Guests in the house. Balanle. Attaboye.
See, now he can't stop saying it because he's saying it right.
And Deanna Jennings. Can I get one thing that I do right and celebrate?
Yes.
It?
Yes. Wow, celebrate
no.
all of it,
on?
Baby.
What's going on? What's going on?
Hold on. I got you.
Well, it doesn't matter. I know. McGuffey Art Center.
Black History Month.
Part of the Black History Month programming, as they should be celebrated 365, currently running now through February 24th. Thank you so much for coming on to the show today.
Thank you for having us.
Right
Thank
on.
You.
Right on. So talk about, so I'm just going to let either of you, you know, head it off, but like talk
yeah,
about.
Yeah, what y'all doing?
All right.
You got two talkers on the radio show.
Well, start it up for me.
We're showing our art as a part of Black History Month, and we just happened to be in the same space, which was really cool.
Oh.
I had not met you before
no,
the show. And she's in one half of the room. I'm in one half of the room. I'll talk a little bit about what I have up. I make gourd instruments based on the Appalachian tradition because I come from a odd group of people called Black Appalachians.
Yes.
And I'm basically doing the culture and making the instruments that I know about from childhood. So I have a few pieces that are hung up in the area, and they're right across the room from Attaboy.
And I have an installation set up in the other corner of the room, and it's made from repurposed fabric and clothing. And actually, on my way here, I saw that the SPCA rummage sale building is right there, and
yes,
they are responsible for this show because garbage bags of fabric. I used to sew. I haven't done it in a long time. So all of that stuff just built up in my attic.
Right.
I needed to clean it all out. But these were all projects. These were all ideas. These were all pieces of fabric that for some reason I thought was cool. So it's really hard to let go of it.
Yeah.
And then I just decided I was going to weave it all into a single tapestry.
Mm.
So that's what the installation is. It's a big tapestry of all my old clothes.
How long did that take, Valana?
It was also a great winter project. I think it took me about 2 months. When I heard that McGuffey was gonna turn the whole building over in February to Black artists and started thinking about what I might do, I thought, this would be a perfect project for it. So I took 2 months. I set up a little tent in my living room with heat and just wove fabric for about 2 months.
So to me, it's really interesting that both of you did something that is so linked to the African diaspora, you know. Making our own instruments and working with fabric is something that when we got here, we had to refigure out how to do.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so ingrained in our DNA. Is that something that has impacted how you do it? So is it, I mean, yours is coming from a traditional way of making instruments.
Absolutely.
But you said you used to sew. Is that like you just made your own clothes, or did you quilt, or how has the history of what you've chosen to do impacted what was created?
In my case, actually, I'm going to say it's a little bit of a departure and an exciting one. I also paint and I sculpt, but this is the first sort of project because there's no image involved.
Mm.
It's the most abstract kind of thing done.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really about just layering stories and layering color and layering textures. And it's I was about to say mindless work, but it's really mindful work. It's a way that I can shut off all the other part of my brain, which kicks in when I'm trying to draw something or I'm trying to get this painting to look right.
Mm.
So I'm not sure what the question was.
Is it even something that, if you want, I mean,
well, I think that what I hear you asking is what I heard is about the materials and how that shapes what we do. And it's amazing when you walk into that room, that gallery where our artwork is, the first thing that strikes you is the contrast.
Mm.
She has such burst of color and shapes and things. And a lot of my color comes from the natural product. People
right.
ask, do you paint your gourds? No, I don't. I usually just let the patina of the gourd happen. So you've got this really beautiful contrast, which is the African diaspora.
Yes.
You know, we're not monolithic.
Mm-hmm.
We're not
mm-hmm.
all saying the same thing.
Yeah.
But we're saying our own beautiful story.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, the materials do kind of dictate what happens in that room. And when you walk in that space, you just feel it.
Wow.
I was... You know, they hung the show for me, and I know your installation piece, you probably had a lot to do with it. But when I walked in, I was gobsmacked by the presentation of it.
So, Dina, your gourds are, it seems to me, there's another dimension going on, because not only do you create these instruments, but you also play them.
Yes.
So it's not like a sculptor who like sculpts a bust and then puts it on a pedestal and it just sits there.
Mm-hmm.
Like you you have made a piece of art, but there's also a utilitarian aspect to the piece of art. So with the gourd instruments that are sitting there, are people going missing that other dimension of their performance? Because it's also the sound, right?
It's the sound too, and the absolute next dimension of that is we actually grow the gourds.
What?
So my
So
my husband and I have a farm. We grow the gourds. We're actually going to start milling our own wood for the necks, because I lost my wood supplier, and one day we were out getting firewood.
Screw that guy.
Yeah, right? Right. We were out getting firewood because we heat with wood on our farm, and my husband pulled out this huge oak, and he goes, "Wow, look at this. What do you see there?" I said, "I see banjo necks." So we're actually going to start milling our own wood. So there's that other dimension. I mean, I watched that gourd grow from a seed into this gourd that I nurtured and watched it grow in the field and babied it. And it takes about a year for it to mature enough to be able to use it. Then you bring it in and you put it on the workbench, and you might lay down that gourd a certain way, and for the first time you hear it ring. You hear its voice even before you've assembled the instrument. And so I'm with that instrument from its beginning all the way through.
How many have you made?
Oh, gosh. I'm still within my first 100 or so of instruments. So, I mean, I know there's other, like my mentor out there.
I love how you say that like it's the beginning.
But yeah, right? It's the beginning. I'm still pretty fresh at it. But I've been building for almost 10 years now.
I gotta know, what made you think gourd? Turn it into a banjo? Sure.
Well, the history of the banjo in North America starts with the gourd. Mm-hmm. It starts with precursor gourd instruments in West Africa. Mm. That as the Middle Passage happened and people slavery occurred and people were moved from West Africa into the Caribbean. Mm-hmm. Those gourd instruments in the West changed in the Caribbean until they came to the Appalachian Mountains, where they changed even further. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I know from what my ancestors grew and built. And what I make now are modern sculptures, but they are based on that history of the instrument coming up from West Africa to the Caribbean to here. Mm.
And the show is not just instruments on the wall, because I know you're going to give a recital. I've been looking forward to that, to seeing all these instruments played and hear the music.
Well, I think that's a lovely segue.
That is a lovely segue. We're going to have to do a little drop, pay some bills. We'll be right back. This is Homegrown. Drop!
I'm Ethan Murphy.
And I'm Susan Holland.
And we're from Slade Nash. And you're listening to
Homegrown
on 94.7.
About 5 minutes past the hour of just tuning in. This is Homegrown, 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. I'm David. That's Leslie. Clinton on the boards. We have the wonderful Dina Jennings that is about to play the song that is featured on her Facebook page. So go and check it out after you hear it. This, ladies and gentlemen, is Dina Jennings.
Okay. I wrote this song a while back, and it's basically love songs for the rest of us. So in time for Valentine's Day, it's songs that the rest of us might sing. I'm playing it on not an instrument I made, but it's a Lyon and Healy 1920s banjo ukulele,
wow.
Terry wood, gold brass frets, and a beautiful iron enameled back. So because I'm interested in early amplification, pre-electric. So here's a song.
Well, that's all. That's all.
you, that's all. That's all right. If you think I'm out with all your friends without you, baby. If you think I'm out having a ball despite you, then you don't really know me that well. After all these years, I can tell. Most likely I'm out by the shore, catching moonbeams and funny things and so much more. Well, that's all. That's all. Yeah, that's all. That's all right. We fell apart so long ago, we didn't even know. Oh, you gave your heart and I gave my soul, but it just wouldn't go. Oh, no. Now it's time to part before we start to despise each other and stuff like that. You take the stuff and I'll take the cat.
It's usually how it works, actually. Lost a lot of cats in relationships.
Try not to be sad at all thinking about me, baby. After all, we dearly did have a ball. Remember that time? Well, you know, things will look better one day. After all these years, I can say, if you sing it with me, it won't feel so bad. In fact, it might even make you glad. So raise your hands, your glass, your voice, and sing it out loud like it was your choice. Well, that's all. That's all. Yeah, that's all. That's all right. Well, that's all. That's all. That's all. That's all.
Exclusive.
That was awesome.
Thank you.
I haven't liked the ukulele until now.
Oh, yeah. And a banjo. Yeah. They're kind of hard to like.
So that wasn't an instrument that you created, but no. That you just picked up along the way? Or
Yeah. In my because my background is in science, I'm really interested in amplification. And that was one of the ones I picked up. That instrument's almost 100 years old.
Wow.
And here it is. It's still able to just carry its voice. Mm-hmm. And I think that's amazing. But when I play on the 16th, I'll be playing all instruments of my own.
Right on.
Yep.
And that's going to be at McGuffey, right?
At McGuffey, 1 o'clock. Yep.
Cool. Let me switch over to our ask a question of you. Did you find it difficult to switch from doing a more representative presentation in your to do something abstract? And what was it? And what were the differences like working that?
Okay. It was difficult, but I just had to, at some point, decide to trust that it was all going to work out, which is strange when I think about it, because it literally started with a single piece of fabric about this big, and now it's something that's 16 feet long and 8 feet tall. And so when you're beginning, you have no idea where you're going to end. You just have to trust that you just add another piece and add another piece and add another piece, and that it's all going to work out and make sense in the end.
Okay, so I got to ask the total novice outsider question, which is...
Of course.
Which is like when you're working abstractly, how do you know
you don't.
When it's working out?
You don't. Literally, from it's minute to minute. You look at it, I look at it, and I think, wow, I think that could be beautiful. And then I look at it, and I'm like, it's a pile of rags on the wall. And then you just keep going, and you just keep adding one piece to the next. And it's amazing. It's sort of like what Wes was saying earlier about the voices. You might not trust your own voice by itself, or you don't like the sound of your recorded voice, but put enough voices around it and it becomes something else. It becomes beautiful. So you just have to trust that you'll get there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Both of you speak about voices, and you know, you talk about like kind of hearing the piece as you go through it, not knowing like where it's going to take you, and you talk about like the gourd and like hearing like the thump of it for the first time and knowing that's like ready to go, like there is a personal touch that both of you put into your work. I don't want to use the cliche term of saying children, but there is a deep love and care and understanding of maturity. Like, this isn't done, but it will be. Mm-hmm. And when it is, it will be amazing. So talk about that process and trusting that process in the middle of it and not being like the artist that I am and getting a quarter way and being like, this is trash, and throwing it away. Like, understanding that all of this takes time.
Yeah. Do you want to?
No.
I really feel that, what you're describing. While I'm working on the gourds, like I said, even when I'm growing them in the field, you really feel that. And even deeper, I feel the ancestral pull, because a lot of the early banjo music, the first popular banjo music in the United States, was through blackface minstrelsy.
Mm.
And so you've got that pain of that music. You know, the gourd instrument was doing its thing in Appalachia. Blacks and whites were playing it, having a great time. And then people from city centers in the north decided, well, let's mock this.
Mm-hmm.
Make the banjo out of a drum head and do caricatures of blacks on stage.
Hashtag capitalism.
Yeah. So, I mean, you end up with
hashtag this minstrelsy, hashtag that's where blackface came from.
All right.
Full circle!
So, like, the conversation earlier, I was all in it. I was like, I'm here going nuts, because this is, and the beautiful thing is that now that I'm using the voices of our ancestors to say, this is not right. The banjo is ours. It always has been ours. And we're going to get this back into our hands, right? And as a result, I'm teaching at college campuses and at festivals to help people understand the cultural sensitivity of the music that they play.
Absolutely.
That when they're doing, I can't remember the song right now, but when they're doing Blue Tail Fly, that song, that it's not the lament of a black slave who's sorry and sad that his master is dead. The guy is happy that he's gone.
Yeah.
And the verses tell you that, but you don't hear that verse until you get to the verse that they leave out
in
the school books.
Right.
Jimmy Crackcorn, that's the song. So I'm using that to say, this is our music. Wow. This is our instrument.
Mm-hmm.
This came from us. And yeah, I'm hoping those voices are screaming loud.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Absolutely.
Yeah. Wow. And the fact they use the word children is probably the best compliment you could pay to my art, even though you haven't seen it. Because if I had to pick a word, that would be the one that I would pick in my approach to making stuff, is to try and remain childlike always. And I think...
Dig into that. What do you specifically mean by that?
I guess it's the thing of the trust that I was saying. This is something children have naturally. They just trust that it's going to work out. They're going to do it. They haven't learned yet that sometimes it doesn't work out. And so they don't let that stop them. So that's something I always try and hold on to. And a big part of the installation right now is a big chalkboard wall with lots of chalk. I do it in almost every art installation I do, because it is a reminder to me every time. I go there and it's a big blank black wall. And I come back and it's completely covered top to in color. Mm-hmm. And you can see just looking at the height of it, you can all, the adults have all written comments at the top.
Mm-hmm.
And the kids, it's just a scrawl of color and drawings and all of that.
Right.
And so it's exactly it. It's childlike. Mm-hmm. I want to approach it from a childlike kind of place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's beautiful.
I know what section of the wall I'm focusing on more. Diatribes and insertions. I choose carefreeness. Yeah, that's all we got. I mean,
I think that's a lovely note to end on.
We'll end it on that. I got nothing.
Stay childlike, people.
Might drop. I want to thank West Wing in the back, Dina Jennings, Willamette Attaboy for coming on to the show.
Thank you.
I love you, Leslie. I love you, Clinton. We'll be back next week. Stay tuned for Sunday Morning Wake Up Call. Be sure to buy Dina's CD, cdbaby.com/CD/DinaLee. Also, she's going to be playing live 16th at the McGuffey Center.
1 p.m.
Check it out. Go see McGuffey now through the 24th. All the time from Front Porch Views Music School. West is jamming February 16th. So, thank you all once again.
Thank you.
We will be back next week with more people and more Black History programming. So, stay tuned and have a good weekend.
Peace.
Listening to Homegrown on 94.7 WPVC LP Charlottesville. You can contact the show on Facebook by searching Homegrown Charlottesville. Be sure to tune in again next Sunday at 10 for Homegrown, only on 94.7, the progressive voice of Charlottesville.